Annyeonghaseyo, good morning to you all. Warm welcome. If you're with us for the first time, it's good to see you, and we hope you'll stay and have a chat with us afterwards. Today's service is, this service is being live streamed, so we welcome those joining us from home or elsewhere. Worship today continues with the 11:30 interactive service, which will focus on prayers for peace, and then the 5 o'clock reflective service. Please refer to the notices sheet that gets sent out each week by Catherine, and she's made a special plea this week to remind you to look also at the attachments. There are usually a couple of attachments which have additional information, and she has been asked things which are in there, so please do look at the attachments as well. Prayer, in addition to the midweek 10 a.m. prayer slots, we have the 24 hours of prayer for the start of Lent, beginning at 6 o'clock on Friday, 4th of March, through to 6 a.m. on Saturday, the 5th of March. There are still a few slots open, so if you would like to lead part of that, please speak to Leslie. One of the attachments in the notices is about Lent, and there are some leaflets, printed versions of it here. They're at the back of the church and in the foyer. Please do make sure you have a look at what's going on throughout Lent. There are lots of exciting things that you can join in with. A reminder that tomorrow is the deadline for casting your votes in the elders' election. Please put them in the box at the back, or post them to the church, or give them to me. Two music events coming up this week. On Friday, Peter Bullitt gives a recital on our new organ, and starts at 12:30 in the afternoon. And on Saturday, we have the Remembering Nigel event, which is an informal concert here in the sanctuary by Nigel's friends, followed by tea and dancing in the Mayo Hall. And that's Saturday, 5th of March, starting at 3 p.m. Tea and coffee on a Sunday, just a reminder that we need volunteers to help with that. So if you can, please speak to Hey John. And finally, news of people. Maddie Anazak has been in hospital for tests and now needs some surgery, so we pray for her. Margaret McMahon is recovering from surgery, so please remember her. And Sally Butler is still positive with COVID, which is frustrating her like crazy, so please pray for her. And also remember those other people known to you who are unwell or finding life difficult at this time. Thank you.
Keeps the peace, it's good. So with our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Ukraine and in Russia, we gather to worship God today. The Lord is King, let the people tremble. God sits enthroned above the cherubim, let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. God is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is God. Join together to sing, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Have a seat. We join together to pray. Lord, we approach you as people climbing your holy mountain, hoping to meet with you there. May we be changed by our encounter with you. Strengthened to face the world, renewed in courage and in faith. God of transfiguration and transformation, yet whose essence remains always the same, we worship and adore you. Lord, we confess that we are always desperate for spectacular experiences. We admit that faith becomes jaded when life is difficult or just mundane. Forgive us. And help us to recommit ourselves to journeying with you every inch of the way, every moment of the day, whether life is fair or foul. God of patience and forgiveness, thank you for bearing with us when in your grace you grant us spiritual highs but with our pleasure-seeking humanity, it's never enough. Forgive us that we do not cherish moments of the divine spark, safe with cupped hands. But you forgive us, and you are a God who, in your generosity and love, raises us up time and time again. And we, your people, are grateful. Lord, we pray. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So, Kino. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago we had a service where we were thinking about Christians all around the world and how they are being persecuted? Do you remember that? And do you remember that right at the end of the service we sort of pretended that the police had come and arrested me? Do you remember that? And I walked out there, do you remember that? Today, in Russia, a priest would have had to work out what he was going to say in church when Vladimir Putin was going to be one of his congregation. And if not Vladimir Putin, then his mom, his auntie, his cousin, his wife, his nephew, his niece. All those churches, the priests would have had to work out what they were going to say. Because It might have been that they said something that meant that they were arrested. And it's easy for us, isn't it, sitting here in Kingston Thames, to think they should be bold, they should be brave, they should speak the truth. Well, so what we'll do now is we'll pray. So let's pray. We remember that all over the world, people are persecuted because they speak the truth. And we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ in Russia and in the Ukraine. And Lord our God, we pray for peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. So we're going to sing a song which is all about being brave and letting the light of God shine through us. And it's got action. So up you get. Here we go. Have you got a tune for this? Have you got a tune? Right, come on. One of the joys of this church is when we come to sing the Lord's Prayer that I get it in Russian. Natasha's going to read to us the first passage, which is the story of the effect of an encounter between God and Moses, and the fact that it changes Moses and he has to cover his face. Natasha will read to us.
This reading is taken from Exodus 35, verses 29 till 35, from the New English Bible, which might differ a little bit what you see on the screens. At length, Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two stone tablets of the tokens in his hands. And when he descended, he did not know that the skin of his face shone because he was speaking with the Lord. When Aaron and the Israelites saw how the skin of Moses' face shone, they were afraid to approach him. He called out to them, and Aaron and all the chiefs in the congregation turned towards him. Moses spoke to them, and afterwards, all the Israelites draw near. He gave them all the commands with which the Lord had charged him on Mount Sinai, and finished with what he had to say. Then Moses put a veil over his face, and whenever he went in before the Lord to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. Then he will go out and tell the Israelites all the commands he had received. Whenever the skin of Moses' face shone in the sight of the Israelites, he will put the veil back over his face until he went in again to speak with the Lord.
Thank you. And that surely would raise, for some of us who know our scriptures in some way, the story that comes from Luke, which some people reckon is actually a transfiguration story that's in the wrong, a resurrection story that's in the wrong place. But this is the story of the transfiguration, a strange encounter with Jesus. Is it maybe that for once the disciples have their eyes open and they see what has always been around them? Carol Clack will read this passage to us.
Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one of any of the things they had seen.
Even if you see, that doesn't mean that you see. Our eyes might take in the information, but our intellect does not necessarily join up the dots. And one of the important aspects of Luke's story is the number of terms having to do with looking and seeing, or the opposite. Eyewitnesses are vital for the handing on of Jesus' story in a reliable way, because glory is a visible aspect of God's holiness and majesty. Eyewitnesses were vital to handing on this experience of Jesus' glory. And the passage turns on seeing the appearance of Jesus' faith, the gleaming clothing, the call to behold, and the appearance of Moses and Elijah, and the seeing of Jesus' glory and the two men. And the eyes of Peter and James and John were open, but they did not see. They needed the support of God's voice to bring them to limited understanding. And the things of God often have us doing and saying daft stuff, like Peter with his three booths. "Please, let this moment go on. We want to stay here, which might be one interpretation. Yet, when the men go down the mountain, they keep silent. They tell no one about what they have seen. A conversation between God and Moses causes Moses' face to shine, and as a result of that, Moses wore a veil. But that raises the question, can you have time in the company of the living God and it make no difference? When you leave times of worship, does it have impact on you? And if not, then what is the point of it? Moses has had some sort of outward change, which would not be how it is with us. But to spend time with people who care about you, rest from your work, offer worship, surely that must make a difference. There are people who worship and who suffer from what I charmingly call church secretary disease, though I would say our current church secretary is not among the sufferers. I would say that in his defense. But there are people who you can see them when they're worshiping suffering from church secretary disease. Church secretary disease is worrying about offertory bags being in the right place, worrying about whether Mrs. Smith is okay to sit next to Mr. Jones, about having a list of people that you must talk to at the end of the service about toilet paper. Stop it! Once the service begins, you are here to worship God, to focus on God. Do not get in the way of the Spirit. Let her do her work. The other feature of the story of Moses with the veil is that Moses doesn't know about this veil. He's not a man on some sort of spiritual journey with all the introspection that goes alongside that. He is a man leading the people. And the effects of his encounter with God is that his face shines. Could have been a plumber, could have been a farmer, could have been a builder. The leadership job is not what matters here. What matters is that he is changed by his time with God and he shines as a result of it. And he keeps his face covered because he's told that it frightens the people. Have you ever thought that people round about you might find your faith frightening? We shy away from the notion of God as being frightening, and in the process, the danger is that God turns into some sort of impotent teddy bear. But if God is God, then flat down on your face is a reasonable response. None of us knows the impact that we are having. We each have a great responsibility as representing the living God in all the places that we are and in all times. And that does not mean, sisters and brothers, that your job is to be as dull as possible. No, please, I beg you. If there's a whip round for something, be the most generous. If you're out for a meal, be the first one to the bar. Assuming you've got the cash, of course. If you're rubbish at dancing, go for it. My point is that we want to realize, help people to realize that with God there is a space for them. And the presence of God makes our face shine. It is God who makes people shine. Not just dull, beige people. Keeping it safe is not the way to serve someone who is so frightening and so shiny. It's also worth a moment on that the people were frightened by Moses' shining face. Things that are different from the usual are often frightening. People have expectations of how things and events will be, and surprise is often difficult. People are jaded. People become cynical. Being around shiny people can be wearing. It can show up your drabness, and who wants that? So the story of the Transfiguration also has a shiny face, and this time it's Jesus. And I was struck this week here at a day of prayer, Synod Area Day of Prayer, excellent. And I was struck, somebody read this passage, and the disciples have this amazing moment when they see Elijah and Moses, and Jesus' face is shining, and yet the minute the cloud comes in, they are frightened. And my inner voice said, oh, for goodness sake, or words to that effect, you'll not be surprised to know. For goodness sake, you've just had this amazing spiritual moment on the mountain, and your fear comes in so quickly. What is the point of it? Trusting in God is a long way from most of us and from our ways. I remember early on in the lockdown, first lockdown, someone saying to me, God has got this, which I believe to be true. Believed to be true then, believed to be true now. God has got this. But the way it was said to me, God has got this, communicated nothing but fear. We need our words and our actions to turn the world upside down. The passage in Luke is pointing towards God's bigger purposes. Behold, Luke, eyes on the big prize. We can easily get taken in by two problems. One, we keep our head down and we don't realize our everyday matters to God. Every day, work in life, volunteering, leisure, every bit of it matters to God. Every day, how we behave with our neighbors. Our little lives are all that we have, and the call of God is on them. Not stuffing them with loads of churchy stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. Not thinking, but thinking what God wants. And realizing that in our smallness, our lives point towards someone who is bigger and more than us. And secondly, we do not have to be grabbing the limelight. We have God who is applauding us. We don't dismiss our value. We don't talk about our lives being small because they're nothing. We have the one holy God applauding for us. We are doing the work of the one holy God. That is who we are. Yes, it might look like a mundane job to you, but we do it to God's glory. Each of us is one of God's shiny people. And it's not because of us, it's because of God who is in us. Bit of me wishes that somebody had preached the last bit of that sermon to Vladimir Putin a couple of weeks ago, eh? Let's be still, and then we will pray. Where are you, God? With the price of fuel rising, the bills getting bigger, with the illness all around us, with war in Europe beckoning, where are you, God? You are with us in the darkness, as you are, God, with us in the light. Help us to lean into you, not to pretend, not to say we have all the answers, or we don't, but to lean into you. For you have the answers, for you are the living God. Thank you. Amen. We join to sing now. The green blade. You try saying that. Green blade rises. Please be seated. We join together to pray. Let us pray. We pray for all in our world today. For all who are heavily veiled by the world and its values. For the church and all who follow you. That your church would be beacons of your light, reflecting more and more of your glory. Living a message of hope and peace and welcome. We pray that your glory would capture and change the world at large. So we pray on this day for peace in Russia and the Ukraine. When will old men stop sending young men out to die? We pray for all caught up in the conflict. Those who desire control and the effect it has on the rest of people. We pray for those who are fleeing their country. Pray for refugees and displaced people all around the world. We pray for hospitality and for generosity of spirit. And we ask, Lord our God, what, if anything, is your call for each one of us? Pray for the soldiers. We pray for peace. Lord, we pray for England as COVID-related laws come to an end, for those who are anxious about it, for the whole new phase of having to risk assess every activity that we go into and the pressure that is. We pray for the health of the Queen and for all those others that we know who have COVID at this time. And we pray for all who are sick with other things. We pray for your healing, Lord Jesus. Pray for those whose eyes are clouded by prejudice. We cannot see the value in another. And cannot see even the value in themselves. Help us to be tender and kind to one another and to get us beyond I wish, if only. Lord, as you would open our eyes, so open our ears that we would hear you, for we know what it is to be stubborn in disobedience and to live in our own way rather than yours. And we pray for others whose behavior is leading them into all sorts of trouble. For those who battle with addiction, whether the addictions are socially acceptable, like work, or not, like alcohol and drugs, we pray for them. We give you thanks, Lord our God, for refreshing times, like times on the mountain. But we ask that those times would shape us and transform us for our discipleship, where we would do the good that we can do and not be overwhelmed. For we know we cannot do everything. So we pray for ourselves. Strengthen us, Lord Jesus, for we pray in your name. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. Receive, Lord our God, the offering of our lives, symbolized in this money. And we would not offer to the Lord our God that which costs us nothing. Amen. So for the 11:30 service, which is a service of communion, but we're going to, the main focus of what we're going to do when we're not singing and having Holy Communion is praying for peace. So, and if you've got other calls on your day, cool, text me Zoomers, and I will include your prayers in our times of prayer together. And the text me is also applicable to when we get to the 24 hours on Friday morning. Text me as well. So let us join together to sing our final hymn, Christ Be Our Light. May we sow seeds of justice. May we nurture holy visions. May we harvest gentle wisdom. May patience be our grain. May we mix in courage and grace. May we kindle fires of truth. May we share the bread of healing. May God's banquet fill each hand. And all God's people said, seven of God's people, and all God's people said,